You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
I want you to turn to the book of Jonah. It may be hard for some of you to find chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. You gotta say amen. If you don't, say oh my. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness is come up before me. The Bible says that God spoke to Jonah to confront the people. But Jonah decided he didn't want to do that. He wanted to go his own way and do his own thing. And the Bible says that Jonah went the opposite direction. And so God confronted Jonah's disobedience. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you'll bow your head and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you touch these people. Lord, I can't do a thing for them. But Lord, we know that you can, and I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you get into the deepest, darkest, locked places of their heart, and you begin to speak to them, Father. Lord, speak to them about things that they would never tell anybody, but deep down inside, they know they need to change. Lord, we love you, and we praise you. We lift you up and magnify you. You're holy and righteous and mighty. You're the soon-coming King. You're the balm of Gilead. Oh, my God. We worship you and we praise you and we lift you up. And we ask that you touch us today. In Jesus' precious name, everybody said, Amen. God confronted Jonah and Jonah's disobedience. Anybody know why Jonah ran away? It's because God confronted him. There's too many preachers filling pulpits who haven't really been confronted by God. They've only been called by mommy. And so God confronts Jonah and he tells him to go down to Nineveh and cry out against the wickedness in the city. And instead of obeying the Lord, Jonah basically says, I ain't doing it. I'd rather slide down a sliding board with razor blades than go there. I ain't doing it. And so the Bible says that he went his own way, and he got out in his own mind, the Bible says. So he didn't go to Nineveh because he knew God very well. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? In chapter 4, Jonah is protesting, and he said, Was not this the word? When I came back home, isn't this what you wanted me to say? I knew you were going to do this to me. Your grace ruins everything. I want to have revivals, and I'm not going to have revivals now, and I'm going to have to throw out my 8x10 photo, and I'm the gloom and doom prophet, and you just told me that you were going to kill him in 40 days, and now you're showing mercy, and now you're showing grace. Isn't that like us? And Jonah just wanted to sit on his front porch and allow God to turn him into crispy critters, you know, eating a snow cone, watching everything go wrong. That's what Jonah wanted, because sometimes we condemn people and we don't even realize we're condemning them. But God's merciful and God's gracious. Jonah didn't want to go there in the first place. And he anticipated the Lord's mercy. I want you to understand this, because we do this. We anticipate God. We anticipate what God's going to do. In his greatness, we know that he's not going to respond how we respond. And he's not going to act how we act. And so Jonah confronts his disobedience by running away. And God began to churn the wind and the wave. Boy, let me talk to some people today. He can make your prayer room anywhere. He can change your heart anywhere. It may show up in the size of a whale, but I'm going to tell you this. He can make you a prayer room anywhere. In the midst of your struggle or your problem or you trying to run from him, he can make you a prayer room. And I don't want to get into all that, but I want you to understand God is mighty and he can turn a fish into a prayer room. And if you don't listen, sometimes you're going to realize that the guts of that fish are going to be wrapped around your neck because you ran the wrong way and you wouldn't listen and you were disobedient. And God has to bring you to confrontation. Lord, help me. And so, you'll be down in some slimy cavern somewhere wondering, how did I get myself into this? You ever been there? Some of you are there right now. You know what's really easy? God asks you to do something, and you won't do it. And so he has to push you in a direction. But I want you to understand, in his chastisement, that's mercy. In his chastisement, that's kindness. Even the problem he sends us to, even in the great adversity that's going on, God shows up and he never turns his back on us. He keeps his hand on us. As a matter of fact, David prayed this prayer. I love this prayer. I don't know why I don't talk about it more. Psalms 28:1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. Man, I've had God silent before. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. He said, I don't want to be like the Jonas of life. I want to serve you. And when you speak to me, I want to understand. When you confront me, I want to walk in your direction. I want to go your way. I don't want to make up my own way because I'm not right with you. Lord, talk to me. Jonah was challenged to confront Nineveh. That challenge, because he knew God so well, created conflict in him. You hear me well. Though Jonah loved God, he wanted the things of God, he hated the people of Nineveh. Now, let me help you for a minute. If we hate people and we don't love God nearly as much as we think we do, I'm going to tell you right now, you can hate people and have bad behavior and have a bad atmosphere around you and have trouble flashing all around you and not know why. It's because God is trying to confront you and say, I came for the people. I love the people, and you need to love them too. Man, there's some people that are hard to love, aren't they? They're petty and they're hateful and they got bad attitudes and they got this going on and that going on. But God says, love them anyway, and I'm going to confront you until you do. Amen. Then there's a second confrontation. In the belly of a well, he gets Jonah to repent. Jonah begins to say, Lord, I've got myself in a mess. And I've created these problems, and now I don't have anywhere to go. And all of a sudden, he says, get me out of this. And God lets the fish vomit him up. Oh boy, I'm going to talk to you today. I got a sermon for you. A backslidden preacher will make a fish sick. A lukewarm believer will make God spit you out. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, we need to deliver the power of God when God speaks to us. When you go into the grocery store, when you go to the gas station, when there's somebody broken before you, God has set them before you. And it's your job to reach out and help them and touch them. And listen, if you don't do it, you're going to come in confrontation. Confrontation had done its job in Jonah's life. A lot of people say in the belly of the well, but I want to say in the belly of hell. Because Jonah was in a hell that he had never experienced before. And he got under conviction and he confessed. And God responded. Pastor, what are you saying this morning? Your failure is not final. The Bible says, then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah again. God didn't put him on probation. God didn't say, hey, you got to sit there until I'm ready for you because you got yourself in a mess. And I know you're forgiven and everything, but you're going to have to sit there and learn what you did wrong, because Jonah learned when he confessed. God forgave his failure, forgave Jonah's wrong action, and said, let's get back to work. And he sent him to Nineveh. And the Bible says that Jonah preached to those people. Someone needs to get this. I don't care how many times you failed or how many times that you've fallen. I want you to know that your failure is not final. That's not the label God put on you. People will label you. Jonah labeled those people and said, they're unsaved. They're unholy. They're a bunch of vagabonds, and you don't want them, Lord. But God said, I want them all. Listen, you're the guy that God's coming after. You can sit there and look straight ahead and act like I'm not talking to you, but God's coming after you. Well, Pastor, I don't know why you scream and jump around. I'll tell you, because God changed my life, and one day he came after me, and I remember the day that he came after me, and he changed me and transformed me and made me whole. He confronted their sin with impending judgment of God. What did they do? They didn't kill the preacher. They didn't damn and condemn him. As a matter of fact, they all got saved and joined. I'm glad he checks my stinking attitude. If you feel challenged by God, you ought to thank God. Lord, I thank you for confronting me, because I know that I need change. I can't do it in my own power. I can't do it in my own power. I can't be saved, and I can't be changed, and I can't be transformed. But God, if you'll help me, I know you've got the power. I know you've got the tool. I know you're the source, and I'm out of resources, and I need you to touch me today, not tomorrow, not 15 hours from now. God, I need you to fall on me right now. If you feel challenged, it's because God wants to expand your vision. He wants to get rid of your baggage so you'll come closer. Watch this, and so you'll worship him. I worship you, Father. I praise you. So today I want to talk to you about meeting the source of your faith. Don't buy into this easy believe in Jesus stuff. It don't fly. It's a shallow sham. It's easy believing. I hate that stuff, because people think, well, I know who Jesus is. No, you don't. You know his name, but the devil knows his name. We need to know Jesus. We need to experience his power. Listen, his power is what's going to rip the sin out of your life. His power is what's going to fix your issue. His power is what's going to fix your problem. Nothing else will do it. It's not because I'm against any religion. I could name them here, but here's the funny thing. Our church is a melting pot of different religions. I'm not against your religion. I'm not against what you think. What I'm against is the fact that I'm living a higher truth, and it's been available. It's been made available to me because he died on the cross. And these people are ignorantly, unknowingly delivering to folks around us this much lesser gospel, this gospel that is just a piece of what God is offering. He's so much more than what we're getting out of it. Listen, I want to tell you right now, if you just come to the church service and you're sitting on the pew, he's got so much more than what you're getting out of it. We have to be confronted. We haven't even come near facing the fact of God's mystery. Lord, help me. If God really sat on your church pew, he'd make your hair stand up. He'd cause tears to pour down your face. Oh, yes, it would. It would cause you to change. There's something. I don't know if you've experienced it. I can't tell everybody that hasn't experienced it how to experience it, because it's untangible. It's ungraspable. Graspable. Is that a word? But I'm telling you right now, when he gets a hold of you, there's something inside of you that causes you to change. That's not a Pentecostal thing. You're missing it. That's a Jesus thing. That's a heaven thing. That's a power in God thing. Anybody can have it. See, denominations have tried to hold on to it, but I'm telling you right now, you can have him. You can hold him. Listen, I'm telling you, Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to pick you up in the midst of the trouble that you're in, and he will shake you and wake you, because he wants to confront you. It's the blaring holiness of God that makes us quiver. Lord, help us. This has everything to do with the source. The Bible says he is the Lord, and he is life, he is truth, and he is light. your salvation and my salvation, God really wants us to meet the source of truth. The devil is not afraid if you believe in some facts. Facts won't free you, but the Lord will. But if you just say, I believe in Calvary, that's not going to free you. You must meet up with the one who hung on Calvary. You must meet up with the one that came out of the tomb. You must meet up with the Jesus that the Bible talks about, not the one that we've created. Because as we shift and we get further and further from him, we create a God that can live with us. But he's in a sterile environment. When you're broken and when you got a bad attitude and there's a bad atmosphere around you, he's not going to live next to you. And if that God's living next to you and he's treating you like you're okay, that's not real. Because Jesus will confront you and say, don't, I love you, don't do that. I want to speak into your life. I want to change you. I want your atmosphere to be different. You know, that's what the problem is. It's the world's problem. Think about it just for a moment. Our government represents a bunch of crazy men. They don't think God can change them, but he can. He said, I've been with you, but shortly I'm going to be in you. I've been with you in the flesh and in the body. I'm fixing to take the flesh away, and I'm going to send a comforter, and I'm going to send my spirit, and my spirit will be in you, and you're going to be the church, and you're going to walk around like the church, and you're going to speak to people because you're the church. These four walls are not the church. You're the church. Amen. Colossians 1:27. We got three people that got that. Whom God would make known that what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Confrontation forces us to face the facts. Not the written fact. Confrontation forces us to face the source that has given the written fact the authority. You understand that, right? Israel had facts and truth about God. Israel had a historical revelation, but they did not have a supernatural experience. When the source of truth steps in, your flesh is going to melt away. Why? Because when Jesus confronts you, there's a clash and a confession. Listen to this, John 5:37 through 39. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not this word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Well, what do these verses say? Let me just make it easy. Four words, you don't know him. You know about him, but you don't know him. Jesus says, the Father sent me to bear witness of him because he works within me. He does his work through me. The work that I testify of is God working in me. The word I speak of are not mine, it's my Father. And my Father tells me what to do, and my Father tells me what to say. I am but a messenger. I am but the lamb that died on the tree. I am but the one that brought salvation to you. There's no other name by which you must be saved but Jesus. Jesus will heal you. There's no other name by which you can call out when you get in trouble that will heal you and help you and change you and transform. Jesus is his name. But you resist me. Why? Because you've never heard the voice of my Father. You've never seen his shape. You're not what you say you are. What is Jesus doing? He's confronting his people. Instead of bringing a confession, which could cause cleansing. He brought a conflict, and it resulted in a clash. They hated him, the Bible says. You know, one time they tried to throw Jesus over the edge of a cliff. Why? Because people don't want to be totally honest. And so there's a divine clash, a confrontation. Because they try to fill themselves with logic and reason. Are you hearing me? This Jesus Christ that I know of is going to defy your logic. He will not be put in the box of reason. Miracles come because there are people that step outside of the box of reason, and everybody's saying, you're going to die. There is no hope. There is no help. But you just got enough of Jesus inside of you that I believe he can heal me. I believe he can help me. I believe the miracle's going to come. Well, baby, I don't know about your miracle, but I know this. If you call on the name of Jesus, he will help you and heal you and be there with you in your time of need. Well, I don't believe this way. It's because we're not honest. What I'm talking about transcends the church of God. We're just a small fiber of the whole scenario of God's universal work. Just a small piece. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with that piece? Or again, going to spend 40, 50, 60, 70 years sitting on the church pew doing nothing for Jesus, saying you're a Christian? Or are you going to confront some things in your life? Or are you going to confront your sin? You know, the Bible doesn't change because you don't believe it. Just a small part of the source. We're grafted in. We're not the root and the stock. Don't trade ritual for reality. John 5:39. Search the scripture. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Israel had the facts. They had the written revelation, divine truth, and they could not understand the understanding of who God was. They couldn't understand what he had written. You can only have life when you understand what is written. Why? Because he is the Word. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who was made flesh? Jesus. Don't trade ritual for reality. We don't need ideology. We need experience. Jesus, step into the room. Heal people. I mean, heal people like you used to in the church. Heal people that are going down and they're going under and their life has been spent out in the world and they don't know what to do and they run to an altar. You know, we haven't had a lot of altar services anymore where people run to the altar. It's because we are not experiencing the power of God. Listen, you are living in the last days and God said he would pour out his spirit on all flesh. This is the time. If you've never been able to get in the presence of God, this is the time. The time is now. You are ready. Get ready to let God move and let God change and transform you. Let God speak to you when you're in the Campbell's Market or you're down at the Walmart and someone is broken. This is the time. He said, I am life, but you've got to come to me. That sounds like confrontation to me. You won't come to me. You'd rather be religious than be redeemed. You'd rather be ritualistic than experience me. You won't come to me because you don't understand that my presence is designed. Listen to me. He said, you will not come to me. I'm going to say it again. You will not come to me. If you missed everything I said, listen to this right now. You will not come to me. Because my presence is designed to make you uncomfortable. Operation Confrontation. It's born from contrast. It's born from an understanding of what you are versus who He is. Don't let that contrast stop you, church. I know about the contrast. Jesus knew about the contrast. I'm human, so it kills me. Because I'm speaking to you and I can see Holy Ghost words flying over your head, zing, like little airplanes and missiles. It didn't change Him. It didn't affect Him. It affects me, you know why? Because I'm human. And I think, oh God, they're so broken. They can't seem to get it. They can't seem to understand it. They don't have faith. They can't get their faith behind this. And I really wish that they could get a hold of it, because it would change their whole reality. It would change who they are. But they can't seem to get behind it. John 5:42. He said, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Now watch this. This is talking about the children of Israel. Were they religious and circumcised? Yes. Just a couple questions for you. Did they have the love of God inside of them? No. God confronts them. And He says, okay, the next move is yours. You know what they said? We hate you. Don't think the world's going to love you because you're a Christian. Because they hated Him. And if you're a true woman or man of God, they're going to hate you. Why? Because you're not going to do what they do. You're going to be set apart from the world. The Bible says sanctified, holy. Whoa, that's the S word in the church. Stop right there, Pastor. Sanctified, holy, set apart. You know why all these little tic-tac sins are hitting us left and right? And from the back? And it's because we haven't sanctified ourselves to the Lord and said, I will not be like the world. I will not act like them. I will not do what they do. Because I live for Christ. Everything that He gives you is better. Amen. Well, I'll stay religious. And if we get a chance, we're going to kill you. That's what they said to Him. So the truth, who is light and life, like a flashlight, has to click off because they won't listen to Him. And He sends back into the darkness. But then He pops out and He talks to the prostitute and the publican and the sinner. He looks for worshipers among the desolate and the broken and the weak and the messed up people of this world. And His Spirit causes conflict with them, but they're totally different. Because they know what it is to be broken. And they know what it is to be stuck. And they know what it is to live their life a wreck and not know what to do. But when Jesus has a confrontation with them, they say, Lord, I'll take you. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. You changed my life and my heart and my mind. And you set my feet on a firm foundation. And you allowed me to walk and allowed me to talk. And you allowed me to be a different person with a different name than I've ever been. You know, when He calls you, He changes your name. Oh, yes, Lord, we're a bunch of hypocrites. We're a bunch of liars and we're a bunch of sinners. And we all know we cheat and we're immoral. And we're not the way we ought to be. But I know that feeling of uncomfortableness in my sin. And I would rather have a conflict with you and be exposed to what is wrong with me and change my heart and my mind and allow you to speak directly into my life. God, come to me. That's what those kind of people do. The people that's not always right, the people that can't seem to walk on their own two feet, that's the kind of people they are. And God picked them up and He put them on a firm foundation and He made you whole. He says, I'm not only convicting you, I'm helping you. because I'm bringing you to confession. If Israel would have confessed, then God would have forgiven them. The whole nation he would have forgiven. But they refused to confess. Matthew 23:38 says, "Behold, your house is left unto the desolate." John 22:23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast of day, many believers in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did," verse 24, "but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men." Let me read this in the original Greek. I found the greatest thing the other day. The greatest thing. It is this Bible that translates words exactly how the Greek would have said it. Oh yeah, listen. "Many believed in him, in his name, when they saw the miracles and wonders that he did. But he did not believe in them because he knew what was in them." Well, what is he saying? Service and discipleship, born of wonders, will never become real worship. Crowd chasers, sign seekers, they won't cut it. Why? Because there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to take a 3-month sabbatical from signs and wonders. Then you're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to call on God, and you're going to have to ask him to help you. But it's going to feel like he's not there. Why? Because he's not all about signs and wonders. Because if it was constantly about signs and wonders, we would never love him. We would love what he is and love what... Doesn't that sound like the church today? Listen, it's not about signs and wonders. It's not about healing. He already gave you that. That is a promise of the Word of God. He said, "I want you to love me." Signs and wonders are for shallow people. He said, "I don't want people to just be followers. I want them to worship me, not because of my performance, but because of my person. Look at how miraculous he is." There'll be times when I show up in sovereignty, but I'm not showing up to perform. Oh, God, help us. There's no performance base when there's love. Watch this. He came for you when you were unlovable. And he loved you anyway. You know, it's like a woman who marries a rich man. Why? Because he buys her everything. But there's going to come a time when he ain't buying no more. Oh, I need to move on. Leave that one alone. Strike from the notes. God keeps convicting us. He's constantly convicting us. God's confronting us to cause upheaval, to expose the areas of our life that are unholy, unrighteous. And that changes us. And that's what he wants us to be, better. Watch this. Isaiah 6:1-5. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain, they did fly. With twain, they covered their face. And with twain, he covered his feet. And with twain, they did fly. And one cried unto the Lord and said, Holy, holy, holy." I hear 2 or 3 people saying yes. Everybody should be like, just close your eyes and think about that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Confrontation brings conviction. When Isaiah confessed, an angel, moving at the speed of light, grabbed a coal from off the altar and slapped it on his lips. Problem solved. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Gabriel saying, you don't have any more issues? What some people need is a hot coal off the altar to touch your lips. But God is waiting for you to ask, Lord, I need cleansing. Until we confess, there will be no purging of who you are right now. There will be no coal. Your iniquity, you'll lay in it like a pool of broken evil around you. But when you confess, he comes to you and he speaks to you and he dries you up and you say, I'm undone. I can't do it without you, Lord. It's all about you. It has nothing to do with me. I need you to touch me and I need you to move on my family. I can't get them there, Lord, but you can. And so would you touch me? Would you change me? Would you heal me? Would you make me? Would you take the world out of me, God, and put you there? The minute he says, I'm done, God says, I'm fixing to make you done. Verse 6 and 7 says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he set up, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Confrontation made Isaiah uncomfortable. It caused him to confess because he was under conviction. When we confess, we're cleansed. And when we're cleansed, we're commissioned. Please hear me, church. Then God says this, who shall I send? Isaiah says, I'll go. I just come out of some surgery, and I'm not feeling exactly right. My lips are a little sunburned, but I think I can do it. Amen. We need that. I've got some fresh courage. What happened? God heals him. Why? Because he handled the biggest area of Isaiah's life. Do you know what it was? His lips. His mouth. Whoo, this is a story now. God, handle my mouth. Because that's what creates your atmosphere. If you're negative and broken and everything's a mess, that's what creates your atmosphere. Oh God, touch me. You got to say it. You got to call on him. You got to confess to him. Well, Pastor, my old wounds are still bleeding. Let him go. Accept his calling. Accept his touch on your life. Lord, I need the master of all the problems to step into my world right now. Let heaven open its gates and fall on me. I need you, Jesus. Touch me. Touch my lips and touch my mouth. When he touches your lips and your mouth, he automatically touches your mind. Why? Because you get a heart change, you get a mind change. But watch this. The moment that you make progress in one area, he's going to confront another. People that have been with God for a long time, Jared, would you come to the piano? They have to understand that the conflict and the confrontation, time should be less, because you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and you know that when he's in confrontation with you, that there's some things you got to change. And so you step right into it because you know he's not going to hurt you, and you know he's not going to harm you, and you know he's not going to take the things that you have to have. As a matter of fact, he's going to rip away from you those broken things out of your life and restore something new in you that you never had before. It'll make you better. Listen, we need to go on a bench for Jesus and just pray and spend time with God and say, God, we need you to move and allow you to touch our lives. Why? Touch me, Lord, with the coal. Do you know that the angel couldn't touch it himself? He had to use tongs. Because they haven't seen or experienced the sin and the degradation and the brokenness you have. We watch it on TV. We listen to it. It comes into our cars and our houses. When we turn the radio on, the news is constantly splashing stupidity and craziness, and we just constantly listen to all this stuff. But what if we shut it all out and say, Lord, I'm stepping into the presence of the Holy. Lord, touch my lips, change my mouth. Lord, I want you to confront who I am. Oh God, everybody stand with me. God doesn't confront you to condemn you. He challenges you so that you'll step closer to His splendor. Oh, you're mighty. Oh, you're righteous. You're holy. You're wonderful. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're the fairest of 10,000. Just think about what He is to you. God, I remember when You took this from me. I remember when there was a confrontation that caused me to change. I need You, Jesus. Touch my lips. You got to confess. You got to confess, or you're going to walk out of here the same way that you came in. Oh, Jesus. There's so many
things that I... Wow. Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.